Happy New Year, everyone. This is our first episode of 2023. My guest today is Chiri. She's someone I've known for 3 years, and over that time, we've had a lot of great conversations. Today, we're going to be discussing some of the goals she had in 2023, in the start of 2022, sorry, and how she's navigated those goals and what 2023 might look like for her. So sit back, grab your drink, and enjoy today's session. Hi, Chiri. Welcome to this episode of the What Next podcast. So guys, Chiri has been a member of the What Next community pretty much from day one. So it's really exciting to have her here live with me on the podcast. Thanks for being here today during this festive period, you know, taking time to sit with me.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on the hot seats with you.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm not sure it's a hot seat. Seat as, you know, just a, you know, comfortable couch, you know?
Nice. I'll try.
Okay. So, I mean, we're coming towards the end of 2022, and I thought it would be good to use this episode as a reflective one, you know, just to talk about some of the things we think we did right. And as we go into 2023, what would we like to go into 2023 with, you know, not your necessarily your New Year's resolution, but, you know, what are you hopeful for, I guess? I mean, when I think about 2022 for me, I don't know how it's been for you, but it's been a roller coaster. You know, when I reflect back on January and all the expectations, the excitement, and don't get me wrong, I've had a very, very good year. I've had a year of growth, a year of a lot of learning, but a year of dealing with a lot of downs as well. And I'm sure you have your experiences. So let's, you know, let's reflect on 2022 for Chiri. How's it been for you?
I would say similar. I've had a similar experience in terms of having good things come out of the year, good understandings of myself, good experiences, and a year of getting to know, you know, what makes me me. And I'm looking into the new year to integrate all that together, to say, okay, this is how, like, these are my triggers. And as the new year starts, I want to continue that path of growth that I have seen in 2022 into the new year, to see how I can even elevate this current version of myself. That was my main goal into coming into the new year. I was reading this article about, you know, having themes for the year, and I was thinking, would I want to, you know, approach the new year, coming to 23, I was thinking I want to be braver. I want to be, I want to take things more lightly, not be too lightly. That's what I was telling myself. It's one of the things I was telling myself through the year, to be brave and to be excellent. So those are things I want to integrate more into the new year and everything. Yeah.
Sounds great. I mean, I've done something quite similar. So as I'm going into 2023, I've chosen 4 words, you know, I was meditating. You know, I like to do like 10 minutes meditation daily. And during one of my meditations, I just thought to myself, I need 4 words that for me need to reflect 2023. I'm not going to share what those 4 words for me were, but the first 4 words that came to my mind, I wrote them down. And that's what 2023 for me is going to be about. So it's, yeah, it's very similar to what you said, creating a theme for yourself for 2023. Fantastic. So before we go into 2023, let's, you know, look back a bit at 2022. For you, when you started the year, do you feel that the things you were hoping you would accomplish would be, you know, things that, you know, you feel you felt you needed to achieve in 2022? Do you feel that you were successfully able to do that? And I mean, for sometimes we write 200 lists of things we're going to do. How many of the things on your list, for instance, did you get through? And, you know, if you did, you didn't, did it change during the year? Did you, you know, modify them? I guess those sort of things come to mind.
Interestingly, this was the year where I said I didn't want to have a targeted thing to do. But I did want to drive, for example, learn how to drive, because I haven't driven in, I haven't been courageous to get into driving. And it was actually towards the end of the year that I saw my brother. He was being a proper Igbo boy. He took my father's car and started driving it all around the estate. And it was not me, because I like to prepare to do things. So I'd really gone to go and get my learner's permit, done the steps. But I think low-key, I was procrastinating to actually begin. But he just went at it. And then he drove to where I live. And I was just like, wow. And because I've been driving across the estate, I had my uncle call me in to take me to the field. But I hadn't just going by myself, because I was like, somebody has to have time to take me. And my brother just went at it. So that's when it was now towards the end of the year. And I started insisting, like, if I would go to see my parents, I'll ask my dad, can I drive? And then I would just drive myself and just to be more, that same thing, coming into the year, courageous. So that's one thing I can say that it was important to me at the start of the year. And I'm happy that I was able to, you know, find the courage. I haven't reached I was talking to my dad about him letting me, you know, drive and have a car. He was saying that I have to drive outside the estate first. But then my brother goes to filling stations himself outside the estate. So I haven't reached his level yet. But I'm happy that I was able to do that. That's one structured thing. But into the year, I was also, because just COVID was tumultuous, so I wanted more themes for this year, you know, getting to know myself better, getting to care for myself, like sort of like, you know, reparent myself, love myself better. I wanted to see progress in whichever action I made. I wanted to see an upward trajectory coming out of it. So those were like what I said I wanted out of the year, to know myself better, to see an upward trajectory, and to care for myself. And I think even up till now, there's no end to self-knowledge. I think I've known myself for every single moment. Even right before this podcast, we were having a conversation and I got to see even another layer to myself again. So I'm hoping that doesn't end in 2023.
And I'm sure it won't. I mean, guys, so just to give you a bit of background, so Chinyere and I, we've known each other for almost 3 years now. She's a mentee of mine. And like I said, she's one of the day one, what next, you know, followers. And she was one of the people that actually suggested that, you know, I take what next on as a podcast. So we do have a lot of conversations. And I think one of the things that I admire is the growth that you've made over the years. You know, you left university and you were concerned about how tough it was going to be to get into the workforce. And you were concerned because you were also trying to understand where you would fit in all of that. You wanted to do a bit of tech, you wanted to do a bit of marketing. And where are you with all of that now? So what direction did you eventually, you know, go down? I mean, I know the answer to this, but I want you to talk to, you know, the What Next community a bit. Let them get to know a bit about you.
Well, after I finished university, I did do 1 week marketing loans to people in the markets. And that was very interesting. Within 1 week, I knew I don't want to do this. This is not for me. And I told them, I'm not coming back, please.
Door to door is not easy.
It's not easy at all.
It's not for everyone, yeah.
So I came out of there and I went, because I love to read. And there's a bookstore around where I stay that I've always bought my books from. So I went to meet the owner and I told her, see, I've always bought books from you and this is what I can do for your business. So I asked her for a job in her marketing, and then she let me, you know, take up her marketing. So I started the online, her social media marketing and her distribution across Lagos. So I feel that was what started my career. I've always been saying that I wanted to do marketing, but I wanted more tech. I was not interested in tech, really. But I just said, this was Corona period. Let's see how we can. And with the lockdown that happened.
Restriction on movements, yes, and everything.
So that enabled me to integrate tech into her marketing strategies. We had different live sessions with authors and such. And from there, I started working in nonprofits. I was actually an EA, and then she said, okay, you'll be so good and you'll do the programs management there.
So for those who don't know, an EA is?
An executive assistant.
Great.
So I was her executive assistant before I started being more hands-on in her nonprofit, in my boss's nonprofit at that time. And now I am now the head of retail sales. I serve as the head of retail sales at a luxury beddings, furniture and beddings company. But I'm still interested in tech. It's something I'm still looking to go into and see how I can integrate it in what I do now and in my future roles looking forward. It's something I still have my eye on. Like I tell all my friends that I'm going to go to space. So everything I do, I was like, is this going to get me to space?
And for a lot of the roles that you've talked through, I remember our conversations before you move into any new position. There's always this anxiety that comes with change. How are you dealing with those anxiety? And how has anxiety been for you, like, as you've moved from your last role into your new role? Do you feel better about it? Or you talked about courage earlier. Are you feeling more courageous about your career changes?
Well, moving into this new role, I feel I was more prepared than the last one. The last one, every decision was so anxiety-inducing. I'll get so paralyzed with, I don't know what to do next. I don't know, but I'm just making next steps. But with this new role, I am aware of the anxiety and I'm aware of the fact that I'm being paralyzed. But it's now... Now, I still think that's why I now said bravery. So now, it's like you're not aware, but now to make the steps, I'm sorry. So that's where I feel this new role is different from that one. It's, we haven't had a conversation about it. It's like to step out of myself and enforce, like, you know, the ideas. The anxiety is now less because, like, okay, this is a new role, but, you know, executing even better without too much hesitation, that friction.
Mm-hmm.
It's now the challenge I'm now facing at this new that makes it different from the past one.
Sure. And I think what's been really good about your journey is for every role that you've moved into, it's been a growth movement, right? You've moved from one paycheck to another that's always been a higher digit than the previous one. So you're definitely growing financially. I hope you're looking at investments, as you know, because the trap we can fall into is as our earnings grow, our lifestyle also grows with it, right?
I made that mistake.
Yeah.
I've learned.
So for me, that's one of the things maybe we want to look at as we go into 2023, right? Because as you're earning more, you also want to make sure that you are, yes, of course, your lifestyle needs to grow, but it doesn't have to grow at the same rates as your earnings, because you do want to start to look at possible investments and start to build, you know, a future portfolio as well for ensuring that your money starts to work for you at some point.
Yeah. It was actually when you gave me the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that you talked about first reducing your income. So that's what, like, even actively now, in reducing how much I spend is an active decision that I started having a weekly budget. So every Sunday was now part of my routine to review how much I had spent all through the week. So going into the new year, I would like to now earn more. So that's what I have now managed to reduce my spending. So now how to now supplement, use the reduced rates, because I have the data now. Mm. I'm trying to be more data focused with the new year and use the reduced spend to invest more. And yeah, it's one of the things I would like to look into in 2023.
Brilliant. And I think that's great. I remember one of our first conversations, you know, when we talked about investments and you were like, how can I invest? I don't even have enough. I've got money, but it's not enough to invest, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good to see that growth again, where, you know, you now understand that it's not about how much money you have. It's about how much money can you keep? Because if you can't keep the little you have, even when you have a lot, you're not going to be able to hold on to that. So definitely investments. One of the things that, you know, I think we all should continue to look into as we go into 2023. If there's anything that the economy across the world has shown us with the Russia-Ukraine war, it's definitely that you should always have a backup plan and, yeah. you know, something.
Diversify your investments
and make sure that, you know, if one falls apart, it doesn't mean that no there's no stream of money coming in, you know. Yeah. So diversification is definitely very critical.
Well, where do you think in terms of possible ideas, even looking into 2023, that, you know, I could invest in now with this new money that I've come into from reducing my expenses?
Okay, I always say to people there are multiple ways you can invest, and it all depends on where your interest is. I would say that start off, if you're new at investing, at doing some low-risk investments so that you start to understand what your risk appetite is. I think you're young right now. You're just starting out, so you don't have a lot of responsibilities. You can afford to be a bit more risky with your investments than maybe someone who has, you know, mortgage, kids at home that they need to pay for school fees for and other responsibilities. That being said, you still want to make sure, be mindful that whatever investment you're going into, it has to be something you have some level of understanding of. For instance, I know crypto was something everybody was jumping up and down on. And whilst, yes, for some people it was a great investment, I chose never to go into crypto because I just didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I tend to prefer to invest in something I understand. For me, getting on the property markets was something that was very critical to me at a very young age. So I would say investing in property is always a good way to go. Luckily for us in this side of the world, it seems to keep appreciating and doesn't, at least over the last 10 years.
What's the easiest way? Because I feel like with us, younger Gen Z starting out, you see things like people that are proper starting out from university, like me, you say, okay, let's say we have 200,000 naira in savings. What would be the easiest way to get into the property markets?
You have 200,000 naira in savings. You want to get into the property market. One of the things you could do is start by buying land, right? You buy land in an area that is not yet developed. You could potentially get something that low. Another way to get onto the property market with such, you know, a low budget is to look at some of these developers that allow you to split your cost over a certain period of time, right?
Yeah.
So you put in your bulk initial payment and then you start to spread your cost over a period of time. So as money comes in, you're paying them off until you're able to pay the full cost of the land. You could also go into getting a loan, but that's something that I don't advise you to do because of the interest that comes with it. Loans this side of the world is still double digits, which can be extremely high unless you're fortunate enough to have a family member who's willing to give you an interest-free loan, in which case, absolutely go for it. In fact, that would probably be one of the best ways because then the responsibility of making sure that you pay the person back, you know, you stick to that. Mm-hmm. So that's a good way to also get onto that. If you also have a group of friends, but this is, again, this has to be people you trust 100%. And you guys come together and you sign a contract and you decide that you want to, as a team together, put all your money into a bucket and buy your first property together and flip it. Right. So you all buy a property together, you develop the property, you refurbish it and all that, and then you sell it on at a good profit and you take out your money and do it again. And you keep doing that and flipping properties. But you have to, again, be interested in properties, understand the property market, look at the location. Is it a location where you can get a buyer very, very quickly? Because one of the challenges as well could be owning a property. Yes, it's a good price, but then, you know, it takes time for you to sell it. Can you afford to have your investment sitting down in that property for a couple of years before you see some decent appreciation? Mm-hmm. So, and that's why you have to look for bargains. You have to really look for bargains. Look at properties that are being foreclosed. So those are great ones to go for, because foreclosure and they're selling for you to bid up for, you could possibly get very, very good discounts on properties that way. So that's. But then another way to invest is looking at shares, company shares, buying into a company. Yeah. And again, I would say you need to speak to someone who is a financial advisor who really understands, investing in shares and understands what the levers are that can make your share portfolio grow and what the risk affiliated with those are, right? Mm. So that's something else that you could potentially look into for investments. Mm. And then, you know, a lot of startups are looking for investors. You know, you guys could come together, become angel investors, you know, and invest in somebody else's dream, right? Mm. And get a piece of it. But again, those could be very high risk. And that's something that, like I said, at this stage in your life, you can afford to be a bit more risky with your investments than possibly someone that has a lot of experience. So there are various things, really, you could invest in. Yeah. You could invest in yourself, starting your own business. That's an investment.
I am looking into that.
Yeah.
With 2023, to see how, but it's time, I'm still, I guess it still comes back to the, I see the anxiety, but then moving forward, let's now start, you know, executing. Let's be brave and, you know, do what we need to do.
I think that has to come from, you know, within that that passion and the why. You need to understand the why. Why are you doing this? Mm. The why is what is going to ensure that you get it done. If your why is weak, it's never going to happen. So, and that's what I always try to remind myself of when I'm procrastinating on something that I've said I want to do. Mm. I go back to, why did I want to do this in the first place? And if the why is strong, then just remembering that why usually just gets me up. You know, I look at what I have to gain by getting it done vis-a-vis not getting it done. So I think that reflection is something that you need to really, really hold on to. Similar to your wanting to drive, you know, when you saw your brother doing it, you started to question yourself as to really and truly, why haven't I done this? You know, it was as easy as this. I was just making excuses. Maybe I really didn't want to drive. And it just seemed like the next thing that I should be doing at this stage in my life. You know, and once you figure out why, and sometimes you do need an external motivator, such as seeing your younger brother who has absolutely no license, nothing, just jump behind a car one day and start to move it. Sometimes we do need those sort of external motivators to drive us. And that's why I always say, you want to be successful, then you need to spend time with successful people. Yeah. You want to grow, you need to be around people who inspire you, you know, people who you admire. If you spend every day around people who are mediocre or who you are better than, you're never going to be greater than the sum total of the people that you surround yourself with daily. So, yeah, I think that those are some of the things that I try to do to ensure that I don't procrastinate on things. And then one thing I do, and, you know, this is a big part of me, is I write it plainly, right? I really believe in that. If you write something and you write it plainly and it's clear, you are then able to follow through. And there's no greater satisfaction for me than listing out a list of things that I want to get done. And then at the end of the week or the day, I go back to that list and I see those ticks. I start to tick off the things that I've done. It really does for me. I know for some people it's like, Joe, what is that? But for me, there's so much joy in knowing I did this, I accomplished this. And, you know, I'm competitive that way. So for me, it's like a challenge. You listed these things out. Have you got it done? And then if I haven't, I challenge myself the next day. I need to get more stuff off this list done. So that kind of keeps me motivated and moving. But you've got to find what motivates you.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah. So as you get into 2023, what are some of the things that you think that you want to leave behind in 2022?
Well, I do want to leave the procrastination. But like you've mentioned, looking at my why, I want to surround myself with, you just mentioned something that really like struck out to me, surround myself with successful people or people that are striving to always be better. I want to make an active decision to, you know, be in the spaces with those people that would make me want to push harder and push smarter. Because, you know, something that I want to work smart, not work hard. So if I understand my why, it would help me, I feel, work smarter. So I want to live just aimlessly working to work towards, you know, I say I want to get into tech. So how do I get into tech? What's the best efficient way to do that? I want to be more organized with my time and with what I do to achieve my why. So I want to live just really understanding why I want something and then working towards it with a more clearer vision. It's well, not in ambiguity. That's what I want to leave behind in 2022. In 2023, I want to be clearer.
I think that's a great And I think that's great. I think that's definitely a great goal to have as you go into 2023. Mm-hmm. Have you written this down by any chance?
No.
Yeah, you should have known that question was going to come. Yeah, I think you should. I honestly do. So that at the end of the year, you can remember exactly what it was that you hoped you were going to achieve. And I think for a lot of people that I've spoken to this year, one of the things that they do want to let go of is past habits that they've developed over time, that they've gotten from experiences, negative experiences that they didn't realize they picked up. Yeah. And then as they go into, you know, different environments, different relationships, different work experiences, they find that those habits keep rearing their heads at the wrong time. So I guess one of the things that we all need to work on as we get into 2023 and we're chasing goals is to understand what our triggers are, triggers that prevent us from being able to move forward. And sometimes you use the word paralyze. So, you know, triggers that could paralyze us from being able to get things done. So I think my advice probably, and it's something I hope a lot of people do, is spend the last couple of days of this year really reflecting, you know, on yourself. What are the great, you know, personality traits or characteristics that you've picked up in 2022? And what are the not so good ones that you've been carrying year in, year out, that you need to let go of and you need to drop? And being able to understand what those things are, it's not going to cure you of them, but it's definitely going to help you to be able to identify it when it rears its head, and so be able to respond better. You know, some of us, you know, we may be in certain situations and we react a certain way. And at the end of it, you ask yourself, why did I react this way? And you realize you were triggered. And this is a recurring theme, right? So, but being able to identify that trigger, like I said, you're not going to be cured of it, but you definitely can deal with it better. Because once you're triggered, you can stop yourself and say, okay, step out of this situation right now, and then come back to it later when you feel much better about it. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to a fantastic 2023. I think that a lot of the lessons that I've learned from 2022, I'm eager to apply them in some of the experiences and the projects that I plan on having in 2023.
Same here.
Yeah. All right. It was lovely having you. And I'm sure I'll see you in more episodes. And please keep engaging with the platform, keep sending your DMs in, you know, and have a wonderful 2023.
Thank you very much. And thank you for what you do at What Next.
And that is the end of today's episode. I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone who has listened to the first two episodes of the What Next podcast and who's been with us on this episode as well. Thank you for your support, for listening to us, for the comments that you have sent in to us. And your feedback on the previous two episodes. We will continue to incorporate a lot of those feedbacks into future episodes. I do hope you all had an amazing festive season, and I'm wishing you all a very happy new year. Please don't forget, share this with your friends, loved ones, people that you think might benefit from listening to What Next podcast. Continue to send in your comments. You only help us to get better. Thank you, everyone, and happy new year.